Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined by the Platypus Man himself.
I was just going to say, were you going to call me the Platypus Man?
Mr. Vin Forte.
Oh, Vin. My God. I love it. Nice coming hot out the gate with the Richard Jenny.
Oh, boy. Today we are going to talk about UPN, United Paramount Network.
Not to be confused with Paramount Plus.
No, not to be confused with, or the Paramount Network, which is like what used to be Spike TV.
Yeah, or to be confused with Paramount Network circa 1950, whatever.
Right. Paramount, the movie studio, has tried multiple times to have a network. Their most interesting try was between 95
and like very late 94. So like 95 to basically the formation of the CW.
Oh wait, no. Well, yeah. January 16th, 1995 is the original air date, and then they officially stopped airing September 18th, 2006. So about, and that's when they became CW in 2006.
I want to say good 10-year run, but I don't.
That's not a bad run.
No, I guess not.
So, this is an interesting story. We have yet to on this podcast do an episode on an entire network. But this is something. This was an idea you had, and I think it's a really interesting idea because it's a moment in time.
Yeah, you couldn't do this now because you would just make a cable network,
right?
Or you'd make a streaming network. But at the time, they saw that, you know, for a long time, we all know there was just like NBC, CBS, and ABC.
There was just three.
And then Fox came along in the 80s and like kind of revolutionized everything.
Right. Fox in the 80s did the unthinkable and added a fourth network that literally became a fourth network.
And like had successful shows. Like that's the thing. Like it didn't just become like this channel that, oh, you would see like also run programming on, like,
right,
kind of like syndicated UHF station or something.
Right.
Like, this was an actual, like, once they got the ball rolling with like Cops and Simpsons,
Married with Children. And,
yeah, Married with Children. Like, these were bona fide hits.
Right.
And the Fox Network was off and running. And the head of Fox Network, he's the guy that left to start up UPN.
Right.
Which you can kind of see the Fox fingerprints.
Right. Because I think what Fox did to get in the game, let's say, is they didn't come out with raunchy stuff because it's not HBO. It's still network television that has to run by advertisers and has to be national. But, you know, Married with Children was kind of controversial. It was as dirty as a sitcom could be. The Simpsons, as wholesome as it seems now, at the time people criticized it. Early Fox was thought of as like not your mama's TV network.
Yeah, absolutely, because you look at what was on the competing networks, like on NBC you had the Cosby Show,
right?
And on Fox you had Married with Children,
right?
Like, which two vastly different shows.
Right, and the pilot was originally titled Not Cosby. That was the name of the pilot. And then
I don't know how they were going to get around that.
I guess I guess it was a way to tell the industry what it was. On that note, when American Pie was written, the name of the script was something like a cheap teen comedy that'll cost less than $1 million. Like, that was the name on the screenplay.
Mm.
But yeah, like you said, one of the main players from Fox went over to UPN, right? And he kind of took the playbook.
Yeah, but it was kind of weird because like Fox was already the place to go at that point to do the hip edgy thing,
right?
So it wasn't like you were going to take the hip edgy thing and now do it over at UPN. So what ended up happening was UPN would get sort of the secondhand, like hip edgy things that were trying to be hip and edgy. So, you know, you had them marketing to, I mean, for the sake of TV, we'll call them fringe audiences, but they marketed a lot of African-American sitcoms, like sci-fi show. I mean, they had Star Trek Voyager was probably their biggest hit,
right?
At least early on.
And SmackDown.
and SmackDown later on.
WWE show.
Yeah. And then, but before that, like Moesha was pretty consistently, you know, their big hit. But yeah. Then like in the middle were all these shows like Platypus Man and Pigsty.
There, I've got a list of stuff we got to get into later. Some of it is just so crazy. This week I spent a lot of time watching McNasty. Stuff. Oh, Shasta McNasty is, I could just do a whole episode on Shasta McNasty or Chains of Love. Chains of Love was, I think it ran for 4 episodes, which by the way, that's a lot of the story of UPN series, like 4 episodes and done.
Yeah. I mean, just, look at these titles alone. And it's like, what are these? You have no idea. Like, is Shasta McNasty a soft drink? Like, what is this?
Yeah. And 3 episodes in, they renamed it to Shasta as if that was going to make any difference.
Okay.
Oh my God. You know what? Let me back up just a little bit for the sake of education and say really quickly what a network is. Okay. So everywhere across the country, there are TV stations and they used to send out electromagnetic waves like radio, but they don't anymore. Now it's all wired, but still there are TV stations. There's a TV station near you, wherever you are in America, but to have a bigger audience and therefore make more money, they started to, in the early days of TV, network, meaning even though there are different stations, let's make all of the stations play the same stuff, therefore creating a bigger audience. Okay, right. That's what a network is. And that's why the early days of TV were a lot like, it was all about local stuff and really cheap kind of stuff. And when the network started to rise, CBS, NBC, you started to see things like I Love Lucy and things that had huge audiences and therefore could get huge advertising dollars. And that's how network TV runs. It runs on advertising. Originally, there were 4 networks, actually. There was ABC, NBC, CBS, and Dumont. Dumont failed early on, and we were down to just basically 3. And ABC, for the longest time, was like the nothing network. It was like the joke network. This is some Disney trivia that I know. ABC was so interested, it was doing so poorly that they actually paid for most of Disneyland to be made, because Disney was like, he put out his feelers that he wanted to be in TV, and NBC and CBS were like, oh, we'll work with you, and he was like, yeah, but I actually want you to pay for Disneyland, and they were like, we're not gonna fucking do that, but ABC was like, yeah, we'll do anything you want, literally anything you want. So anyway, those were the big 3. And then in the 80s, Rupert Murdoch creates Fox, the 4th network, which it works. It's early enough that it works. But the problem with UPN is UPN is happening at the same time that like everything else is happening. Like the story of UPN is crazy because it is the last battle in a war that basically ended after it. It's almost like the way I feel about the David Letterman, Jay Leno fight.
Yeah, there's no late night wars anymore.
Right, because, and you can't even explain it to a younger audience member because they'd be like, who gives a shit? Like, it's just, that's what it was. Like, you know, some of the, look, UPN ran from 95 to 2006.
And that sounds about right.
That means during that time, The Sopranos started. Sex and the City started. Like, how the fuck is Shasta McNasty going to compete against this whole new world of entertainment?
No, it's certainly Shasta McNasty, especially, or Desmond Pfeiffer.
Oh, you're saying you're wrong. It's Desmond Pfeiffer.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they pronounce it Desmond Pfeiffer, and they say the P is not silent.
Wow. Well, let's take an already confusing show and create more market confusion.
UPN. You know what? So what's your experience of UPN? Did you watch it when you were younger?
Yeah, but again, it was pretty well seen as like one of the other networks. Like that and WB basically came out around the same time. But whereas WB ultimately found its niche.
Right, like, and that they were trying to be, they were both trying to do the same thing, which was be the 5th network.
Right, but only WB eventually was savvy enough to be like, well, let's you know, we're not going to be NBC, but let's carve out our own market. And then they became like the teenage network, where you had Dawson's Creek and Felicity and you know, you had a robust like Saturday morning cartoon lineup.
Right.
You had Pokemon, which was a big hit for right. WB. So like, you had like WB had stuff. Gossip Girl near right. the, I think Gossip Girl may have actually been UPN, but like they had like Veronica Mars. Like they had a lot of these.
Right.
Buffy, my God, right. like.
Right.
So WB had
Buffy went to UPN in its last two seasons were on UPN. It was dropped from WB and UPN picked it up.
But again, that's another case of UPN being like, second. Oh, you're done. Yeah, like you're done with this. Okay, well, we'll take it.
It's like you throw a sandwich in the garbage and you're like, oh, this is still good. I'll take this.
Yeah, exactly. And then ultimately in 2006, 2007, they were like, ah, this isn't really working out. And they just like merged forces.
Yeah, WB was doing better, but also it was like, we're not win. There were no one's winning from this war. You know what I mean? Let's just join forces and become CW, which is really confusing considering UPN is not involved at all. Like the W makes sense, but the C, I forget what the C stands for. Even.
Well, the C stands for CBS.
Right.
Because CBS had a deal with Paramount.
Yeah, that's
Paramount and Viacom. There's like a whole corporate. Basically, there's a really good YouTube video that explains this, but it's in two parts, and the first part's really entertaining, and the second part is like way longer and has way more to do with the corporate part.
Yeah,
and the corporate part is like that's really confusing.
Yeah, I watched this too, and I wanna shout it out because I did get a lot of information from it. It's by Connor Higgins, and that's also the name of their YouTube channel, Connor Higgins. Check out the two-part history of UPN. It's really interesting. But you're right, it does get into the weeds of like this corporation bought this corporation, and that corporation merged with that, and then this guy like it's all of that corporate shit that is kind of like melt your brain after a while. But right, you're right. At that point, CBS was involved in it. So then the C stands for Columbia. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, and the weirder thing is that when WB went off the air, I know we're skipping ahead to like the end of it, but
that's right. When
WB went off the air, they had this whole like night of remembrance. Like we're gonna play all of our biggest hits, and like you know, soft lighting. Like we're gonna give a final goodbye and close the curtain on the WB. And with UPN, there was just nothing.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
The day was there, and then it wasn't.
Right. And, you know, you want to look back and go, hey, you know what its value was? It was a network aimed for African-American audiences. But really, that would be disingenuous because even though their greatest success was with African-American viewers, UPN always said, that's not what we're going for. And it seemed like they had an uneasy relationship with the fact that their main audience were African Americans. They kept trying to launch white shows that weren't really going to work. Like all the big things for them that they really put all of their effort in, like the Dilbert cartoon, failed miserably. But then their big hits that always did well were like Moesha and Malcolm and Eddie and the Parkers. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, it's a weird.
Well, because they had a weird programming because it was like, hey, we've got all these great African-American shows, like these comedies, but we also want to do, home movies, like the cartoon. Right. So it's like, well, what do we do with this? It's like, well, let's use it to, you know, let's put it on the same night as the African-American sitcoms. It's like, well, why? It's because like, we got to program comedies of comedies. And it's like, well,
right.
Yeah, but it's the wrong kind of like the wrong audience for that.
Right. Comedy. Yeah. There was some. It's weird. And like you said, I guess if we go back to the beginning, the big thing they started off with was Star Trek Voyager, which was a success for them. Voyager premiered January 16th, 1995, and it was number one. When it premiered, which is a huge start for a show and a huge start for a new network. And Moesha was also one of their first shows, which was also a hit. So they kind of came out of the gate strong, but also, you know, you've got one start. You've got like what the fourth or fifth Star Trek show. And then you've got a sitcom. And it's like, I think they were always trying to find their house identity. Their house style, and I think they never found it.
Yeah, because they never, like you like let's not forget that when they first premiered, they didn't have original content on every night. So it was Monday and Tuesday. Yeah, it was like Monday and Tuesday we got new stuff. But then like the rest of the week we got like syndicated stuff, movies of the week.
Well, I think the rest of the week the channel would revert back to whatever its local affiliate's name was. Like it was UPN for two nights, and then it was, you know, whatever KHWYK16 in Cincinnati. You know what I mean? Like it reverted back to not being networked, which is confusing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that, like none of it helped. Like they never just put their foot in the ground and said, you know what, WB is going to be the teen network. We're going to be the black network, and we're going to pivot our programming towards a black audience.
I know
they should have done the whole time.
Right. It feels like only later on did they really do that when they did Everyone Hates Chris. Because Chris Rock went to them first with his idea, because he was like, you guys are the black network. I want to work with you guys. And they were like, that's us.
Yeah.
Right. It seems like that was, but even then that's later on.
That's like at the end, because Everyone Hates Chris was picked up by CW. So like that's right at the end.
Right. I watched the pilot to that the other day, and there was one joke that really got me. His mother says, I'm going to smack your name out the phone book, which I genuinely laughed at that. God, what did you watch? Did you watch this stuff? I feel like I was already moved on to cable at this time. I don't know if I watched anything from UPN, maybe Voyager. Well,
I think that was a lot of people too, because they were there even at that time. People, they don't do this now, but in the 90s, people referred to USA as like the fourth network, because people thought that like, okay, if you have cable, like USA was like really making headways. Like
you mean the fifth
network,
right?
Yeah,
people thought of USA as the fifth network.
Yeah, or like they would look to some other cable channel. Like, so people were already moving on, which again didn't, like, it was all these factors that did not help. And if you watched UPN, you really watched it for very specific programming. Like it was just because you're if you were a Star Trek fan,
right?
You're watching for Star Trek Voyager, which I would watch, but it's like that's all you're watching. Like you're gonna watch.
Right.
Like the same person who's watching Star Trek Voyager, like, I'm sorry, like most of them are not sticking around for Platypus Man or Malcolm and Eddie.
Yeah, I wonder if there's an analogy between that and the Star Trek fan who gets CBS All Access for the new show and doesn't, you know what I mean? Like Star Trek is like always going to have a built-in audience, but does that then, can you take those viewers and spread them? Like, for those people
with Paramount Plus, I bet you could, but with UPN, you can't, because there's just way more stuff on offer with Paramount Plus. You can go, well, if you like this, you know, here's, you know, five other shows in our back catalog that you may like, or if you're also into comedies, we've got any number of comedies for you. Just pick them. Like streaming services are way more broad. Like UPN at the time, like you were just stuck with what they had, and especially, you know, if you look at the people who were coming over, who were, you know, when they got the rights to WWE SmackDown.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know,
yeah, let's talk about that, because that was a big thing for them.
But again, it's like, okay, you've got people tuning in to watch SmackDown, but what else are they sticking around for? Now, at that time, it should be noted in the early 2000s, UPN did have rights to some XFL games.
Right.
They were part of that one season. Though.
Not the big Sunday ones.
No.
They were like, they had like the second tier games, which the whole thing ended up failing.
Right. And they wanted to do a second season of XFL, and they wanted to sort of move it to UPN. And UPN said, okay, well, you know, we want to take an hour off SmackDown, you know, for XFL coverage instead. And Vince McMahon was like, no way am I doing that.
Uh-huh.
So they put their, you know, their foot in the sand and said, no, we're sticking with wrestling at that point. So XFL only lasted one season. Which I don't think that's another thing that like had a huge rating when it first started, but then very quickly like took a huge nosedive.
Oh, really? It did?
Oh yeah, like the first week of the XFL, like got big numbers because everyone was curious. Because if you remember the ad campaign for it, it was like very nebulous. Like you didn't really know what the like what made the XFL different from everyone else. They were right. just like, we're going to be harder hitting, or we're going to have get like the commercials had people running from like fucking wrecking balls and sledgehammers. It's like, what is this?
Right.
But then when you actually watch it, it's like, oh well, we just tweaked the regular football rules a little bit.
Right. What? You know, what? So was nothing. Is that what all it was? Or was there sports entertainment? Was there narratives in it like wrestling? Or was it just football that
okay. you know? Here's the thing. They tried to have their cake and eat it too. What they did was they tried to like manufacture storylines. But the players didn't care enough and they weren't interesting enough to craft storylines around. So like they would do like the best they could come up with was like I think Jesse Ventura, who's one of the commentators
sure.
for the XFL, he was like getting into a fight with one of the coaches, and they would do like pre-made packages, like showcasing that. It's like, great, this is fun,
right?
Well, that's but they would have, but they would also have like The Rock come out and cut a promo right. and be like, "This is the XFL." It's like, yeah, but if you're into wrestling, are you that into football?
Right.
Are you into football? Are you that into wrestling? Yeah, you could probably say they overlap. But at the same time, the big thing the XFL did wrong is that they would shit all over the NFL constantly. Right. And it's like you're trying to get the NFL's audience.
Right. Yeah. But also, like, they all wore they still wore uniforms, right?
Oh, yeah. Not only did they wear uniforms, their whole shtick was that you could put whatever you wanted on the back of your uniform. And most people didn't, but like a couple of people did. And the most famous was the guy who put "He Hate Me" on the back of his jersey.
See, that's what I was wondering, because with wrestlers, everybody can be an individualized character. But how do you create a narrative with a team where they're all wearing uniforms?
Yeah, I guess you don't if you're only playing like 8 games a year. And
didn't he try this again really recently? Prepared.
They did last year, and it was cut off by the pandemic. And before the pandemic, it was actually getting decent ratings, and people were actually showing up to the stadiums.
Was it retooled, or was it just the same idea 20 years later?
It was basically the same idea 20 years later, but retooled enough where it had zero like stink of wrestling on it. Like it was just like they put the right people in charge and were like, we are a off-season football league. Once the NFL ends, you want more football? Hey, we're going to give you more football.
I
see. And it's like, okay, so they weren't aiming like too high. And then the pandemic cut it off. And once that happened, Vince McMahon was like, this isn't going to work again. So he basically fired everyone. But now the big twist, guess who owns it now?
XFL?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The Rock owns it.
Really?
He picked it up a couple months ago, and him and his partner are going to relaunch it.
Three times a charm.
Well, because they saw it was actually working the second time, if it wasn't for the pandemic. So they're like, he's like, wait a minute, there's something here now. So like,
where was it airing this recent last year?
I believe it was actually airing on Sports Network. So it was airing on like, I believe some of the ESPN channels, like Fox Sports. That makes sense. Yeah, like they had a much better kind
of stuff when the XFL first aired. They went for networks, right? But did you have cable? Wasn't what it is now.
No, they just had, it was on NBC, had the big game, and then you had UPN and Spike TV would air other games.
Right. You know, it's funny, I watched the pilot to the aforementioned Shasta McNasty, which we will get into, but the end of the pilot, they get a package, and the UPS guy is played by the Big Show.
Oh.
And you go, okay, all right, that makes sense. You know, it's the lead in. Fine, that's okay. He's got some charisma, Big Show. But then to just because they assume the audience are just fucking idiots, the characters go, hey, aren't you Big Show? To their delivery man. And then the delivery man looks into the camera and goes, that's right, I'm Big Show. Stay next for SmackDown. And it's like, What? Who do you think your audience is? Isn't it? Couldn't it just be enough to have him in the cameo and to just maybe promo that?
Yeah, but no, definitely not as classy a cameo as The Rock in Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, wow. I did not know that happened. Did he look into the camera and say, hey, guys, stay tuned for wrestling?
No, they worked them in pretty nicely. Like, they go to a planet where hand-to-hand, like, fighting combat is, like, the big sport.
So they wrote something.
They wrote something. They had him in as, like, a gladiator-type guy.
They prepared something.
Exactly.
This Big Show thing was just, like... I mean, it's so crazy. I mean, it's the end of the episode, and the whole episode has been a nightmare. But just, and like, I don't even know if him looking at the camera and being like, hey, stay tuned. Like, I don't think it's even that winky winky. It's kind of just like plain and simple. Here's an ad. Yeah. So why not have him play himself? Am I to believe in the universe of Shasta McNasty, the Big Show moonlights as a pizza delivery man?
No. And by the way, all of those characters, every single one, you could have told me was Dax Shepard.
They all
look like extras from the movie Hackers.
Let's talk about Shasta McNasty for a moment. I read a recent review of it. It was actually a review, like, literally written recently. And it was kind of a let's look back at this crazy show. It's an AV Club. The article is called Shasta McNasty Was Every Bit As Bad As Its Title, written by Randall Colburn. And he says, it's like Always Sunny in Philadelphia if the show thought that the characters were awesome. Like, ooh, the characters in this show, and I just watched the pilot, are just horrible, horrible people. But unlike Always Sunny, where there's a satire there of the show knows that these are terrible people, we're meant to be like, whoa, these are the coolest guys ever.
Yeah. Ugh.
So Shasta McNasty is not a character. I was sad to find out. It is the name of a rock rap group. Yes, rock rap. This is the 90s. And it's basically like they tried to do the Monkees. It's three guys, three douchebags. They live in a loft, of course. They all have spiky hair. One of them is Gary Busey's son.
Jake Busey.
Yes. And they basically have a rap rock group, which is called Shasta McNasty. That's the name of their group. And they spend most of their time just sexually assaulting people and committing sex crimes. In the opening scene, two of the guys are sitting on the couch watching TV, and you see they're watching a woman take off her clothes. And then you see that they've got a camera in their window, and they are filming the lady across the way in her window, violating her while she takes off her clothes. So that's that's how we're introduced. Yeah, so
these are our heroes.
Yeah, that's how we're introduced to these characters. And we're supposed to be like, ah, these guys are so funny. They like boobies, huh? then when the woman who they're violating, when she leaves, they see her boyfriend's cheating on her. So the main guy who's like, he actually talks to the camera, which is real douchey. The main guy's like slightly less evil than the other two. And he's like, oh, we got to tell her. And they're like, yeah, if we tell her, then she'll fall in love with us. Okay. So
what?
Yeah. So they're like, how do we tell her? I know, we'll break into her apartment and plant some evidence, and then she'll catch that her boyfriend's cheating on her, and then she'll come to us crying, and then we'll have her. This is the pilot.
Oh, wow, we'll have her.
Yeah, it's wild. And their neighbor is, what's her name? The comedian, oh, fuck. She was only in the pilot. They recast her. Oh, Mary Lynn Rice Cub.
Okay.
She was, I think, she was also on Larry Sanders Show.
Wow, what a...
what a pedigree. No, she's actually good. She's also been in some Wes Anderson movies. She's the only... It's so beneath her that she's doing this. They also borrow her panties because they need panties to plant.
To be creeps?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, to be creeps. And she's like, you guys, like, she's supposed to be like the stick-in-the-mud neighbor. God. So the cool guy goes across the street, breaks into her house, and she's got a bird who's a parrot. And wouldn't you know, the parrot's cursing at him, saying, fuck you, whatever. So he beats up the parrot in a montage.
Okay.
And then you see feathers flying everywhere. Oh, it's a laugh riot. And he plants the underwear. He murders her bird. The bird's dead. He plants the underwear, and then she comes in, and he's like, he don't know where to hide. So he jumps out the window, and you're like, oh my God. And then as he's falling, you see it's a dummy, and the screen freezes, and then it says on the screen, this is just a dummy. And it's like, oh, so you guys.
Oh, they didn't do that for the parrot, though.
Like, oh, you. Oh, no, they did do that for the parrot. They did do that for the parrot. It's a callback. But it's also like, oh, so you guys want no stakes in your show? Like, for a minute, I was kind of like, oh, is he going to get caught? But no, you're going to have this adult man jump out a fifth-story window, which should kill him. But you're just going to just, oh, you no stakes at all. I get it. Okay. So then he, of course, hurts himself, and he's in an ambulance. But we're going to use that as an opportunity for a musical number. So while he's in the ambulance, he's rapping. And, oh, God, it's just, oh, I'm just having a chills thing about it. It's so bad. And then at the end of the episode, the plan works out. The woman comes. Oh, I forgot a big part. They have a dog whose name is Dinner. Do you know why the dog's name is Dinner?
Do they end up eating the dog?
No, they get him from a Chinese restaurant because the Chinese people were going to eat the dog.
Oh, okay.
You get it?
Well, you know, this is...
Because we wanted to make sure that this pilot wasn't just sexist. We wanted to make sure you understand we're also racist.
Hey, man, we're equal opportunity offenders.
Hey, I know. That voice that you just used, that's the voice of the show. It's like if Buffalo Wild Wings were a sitcom. It's like if Ed Hardy t-shirts were a sitcom. It's so like 90s, edgy. But it's just,
you're watching Doug and everyone's Roger Klotz.
Yeah. The second episode, which I did not watch, but I did read about, Vern Troyer joins the cast. And you know that they're using him to like throw him around and stuff.
Oh, why else would you get, they're going to have him just, you think this is going to be like when they put Marley Matlin in the L Word to show that you can right. have a character that, you know, that does sign language right. and you don't need to, you know, make a big deal out of it. No, you put Vern Troyer in there.
Right.
He's a little person and you're going to do little person things to him.
Right. If he's not Peter Dinklage, we're not going to treat him with human dignity. We are going, this is Shasta McNasty. Or as of the third episode, Shasta, which I don't know why they.
Wasn't there like an extreme soft drink named Shasta?
Yes, there was. There was.
Because whenever people talk about Shasta McNasty, I just think of the soft drink.
Right, yeah. It's a terrible title, although I don't know why they thought changing it from Shasta McNasty to Shasta would make any kind of ratings difference.
Well, they did that with the second Star Trek show on UPN when they did Enterprise. It was just called Enterprise for the first season or so. And then for like the last two seasons, they changed it to Star Trek Enterprise.
Okay.
That brand awareness going on.
Yeah, it feels, I mean, look, I know in corporate TV, there are tons of cooks and there's advertisers to be pleased and there's audiences to be wooed, but UPN just couldn't get it down. And
what's the worst title? Shasta McNasty or Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 13?
That's a pretty bad title, but that show ended up being good, at least in my estimation. But I believe that was a CBS show.
Yes.
So
yeah, that was right like ABC or something. Yeah. So right off the bat, you're talking about a bigger audience, bigger exposure.
Right. Do you want to talk about Desmond Pfeiffer? Do you want to take that one?
Yeah. Basically, file this under the same vein as Misfires, like Heil Honey, I'm Home,
which was the UK Hitler sitcom.
Yeah, this was it's a show about Abraham Lincoln, kind of. Abraham Lincoln is in it, but this is not a story about them. This is a story about their what could charitably be called a butler.
Right.
They call him a butler. He's a slave.
Right. But he all, and then he also has his own assistant. It's weird. They call him a butler, but
it's a weird Django Unchained shit. Like,
right. Right. They don't use the word slave, but it's during the Civil War. Like, there's a Civil War joke in the first scene. Like,
well, I thought that the cover was supposed to be the fact that it's President Lincoln's quote unquote butler.
Right.
That was them trying to be like, oh, no. Like, remember, Lincoln freed the slaves. So this can't be
right.
You're thinking it is, but it's so, but it clearly is.
Yeah. In the first scene, Mary Todd Lincoln is like, how come you never pay attention to me anymore? And he's like, honey, I'm doing the Civil War. I watched the pilot, which, by the way, never aired. They ended up airing a few other episodes, and it was everyone hated it and were offended by it. But I couldn't tell if the show was trying to genuinely be a sitcom set in the Lincoln White House, or if the whole thing was supposed to be like, huh, isn't this wild? Because it kind of both.
It felt like, and I don't know which came first. I think Desmond Pfeiffer came first, but it reminded me a lot of That's My Bush.
Oh, yeah. And that show definitely was like, huh, isn't this wild? It's a sitcom about the sitting president.
But, like, the Desmond Pfeiffer, you're right. It doesn't know what it wants to be, because it's like, is it a weird satire, or is it trying to be like modern takes with old world kind of thinking? Because, like, the episode I saw, I don't know if it was the pilot or not, was basically the equivalent of like sending a wrong email. And but in their version, it's like, oh, someone gets a wrong like Morse code message,
right?
Or, like, telegram.
I think that's the pilot. Well, this is the other problem, which is, even though it's Lincoln, they just try to do, they just make it Clinton jokes. So,
right. Like, he has to cover up having an affair.
Right. Instead of sexting or having dirty emails, they find out that, to blow off steam during the Civil War, President Lincoln, using the telegraph, a dirty Morse code. And like, you think, okay, so, I get it. You're making fun of Clinton. But then, of course, again, UPN, they go straight fucking put that nail right on the nose. At one point, Desmond Pfeiffer's like, don't worry, sir. You could tell me. It's not like I'm a grand jury. Wink, wink. And everyone's like, oh, I get it, because that happened. It's like, we get it. We get it, UPN. Yeah, and it's so, and they make Mary Todd Lincoln basically like a Hillary stand-in, so therefore she's an ugly bitch who no one likes and everyone hates and is gross. Like it's somehow both offensive to Mary Todd Lincoln and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. And then, like, the whole Desmond Pfeiffer angle isn't like strong enough to be the title of the show, I don't think.
No, right, because he's
like the narrator.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be his diaries that we have found. And he's narrating it kind of like Mr. Belvedere. And yeah, he has a few jokes, but he's not the funny guy. Like, everyone around him is supposed to be funnier. But there's also a subplot of, like, they're looking for a secret treasure in the White House. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Desmond Pfeiffer. The secret diaries of Desmond Pfeiffer. And I guess they thought that would go.
I guess so. I mean, look, they thought Dilbert would go. That went two seasons.
Dilbert was
a mild hit for them.
Right. And it was something they put a lot of their fucking money into. Dilbert was like a real fucking, it was a real swing for them.
Yeah. And it's weird to look back at it, because you know what? It actually wasn't a bad show.
I couldn't get through the pilot, but maybe it got better.
Maybe it got better, but, like, I remember at the time, I mean, who knows, maybe if I went back and, like, watched a couple episodes, but, like, I just remember, like, watching it at the time, like, sort of in the mix of all the other sort of adult animated cartoons, and thinking, like, this is okay. Like, right. Chris Elliott was in it, and it was a nice cast. But
right, Daniel Stern was the voice of Dilbert, and Chris Elliott was the voice of Dogbert.
Yeah, based on the comic at the time.
Right. You know, the creator of Dilbert is like a huge Trump guy now, right?
Yeah, but he's also, he's just weird in general. Like,
yeah.
before he sort of really came out as a Trump guy, he was sort of a guy that tried to be outside of politics, but in trying to be outside of politics, like, dug himself way more into politics, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember the Dill Burrito?
I'm sorry, what now? No.
This is a real thing, and they were sold at, like, Costco's and, like, big box stores. There was a Dilbert brand burrito called the Dill Burrito.
I guess Dilbert Fever must have really passed me by.
Yeah. I remember someone in my family buying them once, and I remember having one for lunch, and it was the most, I don't know what you're thinking this thing is, but it's like a white, like someone say, hey, make Mexican food.
Yeah.
And it's like the white sterile version of like whatever you think Mexican food is.
You know what it is? I think Charles Schulz and I think Peanuts and Garfield made, a gazillion dollars. And I think a lot of these other guys, with the exception of the guy who created Calvin and Hobbes, who specifically was like, fuck no.
Yeah.
The only like,
one with integrity.
Yeah, he is the only one with integrity. A lot of these other guys were like, yeah, I'll do that. And this is why you have, what is it, the Dill Burrito?
Yeah, I'll send it to you right now. I'll send it to you on Facebook.
Does it have glasses on it?
It's got a picture of Dilbert on it.
Oh, you fucking bet it does.
Here we go.
That's some branded content right there. Some branded products.
Introducing the spicy Indian Dill Burrito.
Okay. I'm so ready for it. Wow, Dill Burrito. A vegan microwave burrito. Introduced in 1999 by Scott Adams. The product went out of production in 2003, so it had 4 years. There's so many out there that really love Dill Burritos. It was like, oh, fuck.
I can't believe they got rid of my Dill Burritos.
Oh, there are peas in it. Gross.
That's it's probably the same person who like loved those Wow chips in the late 90s.
Oh, the anal leakage? That's when America learned the term anal leakage.
That's right, because they had, what was it, Olestra?
Yeah. All right, can we talk about Chains of Love now? Because I just want to talk about Chains of Love forever.
Yeah, tell people what Chains of Love is.
Oh, my God.
I think there's another... I think we both have a reality show on UPN to talk about.
So. Oh, God. Chains of Love. Again, I think it had 6 episodes. It aired in 2001. And 2001, you remember, was... or maybe you don't if you're a young listener. There was a point where reality shows were... You know, like now reality shows are a huge sort of staple of all of the cable networks, like, you know, Animal Planet and HGTV and all of those things, TLC. But there was a time where the networks and everybody were trying, and they were trying to lead the pack by being maybe the who could be grosser.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were very mean-spirited and weird. So Chains of Love was kind of a little bit like a Bachelor thing. Although every episode had a whole new group. You didn't follow the same people throughout the season, which I like. So they've got the Chains of Love house, which is like one of these creepy porn houses they rent in whatever, in California. So you've got 5 guys and 1 girl, and they chain them together like a chain gang. So the idea is like, she meets these guys and they're all vying for her affection. She's supposed to pick one and then they'll date, I guess. But they're literally all chained together. So they have to like move around together. They have to they have to sleep together in one bed. They have to go shopping together. Like they'll put little tasks for them to do. Supposedly, the show says that they let them all out in the morning for a couple of minutes to go to the bathroom. I don't believe that. Especially because they go from wearing clothes to being in a hot tub. And it's like, well, how did they change into their swim gear? But anyway, it's just so weird. Like, so from the get-go, I watched the first episode, and every guy's a douchebag. Literally, all 5 of the guys are just really annoying fucking assholes. And then the girl is, like, really needy and, like, trying to be funny but not. And so the first thing they have them do is they sit around a round table, and they're like, so... these guys were all showed 5 women and they didn't know which woman was you. So they were asked to rate all the women in terms of their looks and how much they would want to date them. So already it's like, this is weird. So like 2 of the guys of the group are like rated her like unattractive, don't want to date her. So she's like, why did you do that? Why? And the guy's like, I don't know. Like, it's just awkward in the beginning. And she's like, she's trying to act like she's upset, but it's not working. But because I think of that, like, the guys who do the worst at that part get to be at the end of the chain. Like, the coveted spot is the one closest to her.
Right.
And then when they do, like, you know, a big part of reality shows are first-person testimonials. When they do the first-person testimonials, you'll see, like, the other ones are all, like, have, like, noise-canceling headphones on. And they're, like, either, like, watching something or they're, like, napping. And just one person's talking. And it's like, what the fuck is this? But anyway, you think, okay, that's already a weird, kind of awkward show. How can you make this weirder? Well, there's two more elements. One is that there's a purse with like $10,000 in it. And the person at the end gets most of the money, but she can give out money to people as she gets rid of them, as she like eliminates them. And she, but she, there's no rhyme or reason to it. Like, if you're the first guy out and she doesn't like you, she could be like, I don't like you, so I'm giving you $15. And you just like, all right, thanks. And then the last guy, like I guess he gets most of the money depending on how much she's given out. But then there's also this character, and he's like, I think he's the key master. And the key master is, and I'm not body shaming, it's this large overweight man with a leather jacket and sunglasses, like meant to look like a bouncer, like a tough guy. And he doesn't speak and he doesn't smile. And even though part of the show is eliminations, still he'll show up out of nowhere and there'll be dramatic music and all the people will act like they're surprised to see him. Like, oh shit, the key master's here. Oh no.
Oh fuck, daddy's home.
Yeah, we were having fun ice skating, but now the key master's here. So the key, when the key master arrives, she has to eliminate somebody. So she does that. And then, you know, when she's down to like two guys, it's really awkward because each guy gets a date with her. So like, it'll be like her and one guy on a romantic date, but then like chained to her other arm is like the other guy just sitting there like playing a Game Boy. It's so weird. And like, nobody has any charisma. You have no interest in her or any of these. You know that this isn't going to be a real relationship. You know, even in the first person testimonials, the guy who wins is like, I don't really like her. I just like to win. I'm here to win.
I'm here to win that money.
Oh my God. It's so good. And, oh God.
I really like her. I'm just here to win.
Yeah. It's wild. It's like, wow, you left that in, huh? It's just, I'm trying to think of other great moments, because it's like, they'll be like, oh, it seems like every time they go out to do something, the keymaster shows up. So they should be aware of this, but they are always surprised. And like, they're trying to act. So some of the guys are like, whoa, like they're scared of the keymaster. Oh, that's Chains of Love.
Well, I don't know if this is going to top that.
Yeah.
But there's one show that when we've been talking about UPN, I have not mentioned. Mm-hmm. Because I kind of wanted to be like, oh, maybe he missed this. I'm going to send you an image.
Okay.
Of what this show is. It's not even anything scandalous, but just the title, if you don't know what's coming, is going to throw you.
I have a guess. I have two guesses.
Okay, what? Before you look.
Oh, I looked. This was one of my guesses.
Okay, yes. It is Amish in the City.
Amish in the City. My other guess was, what was it called? Homeboys from Space?
Oh, Homeboys in Outer Space?
Yeah, Homeboys in Outer Space. That I thought it was one of the two. I didn't watch this. Tell me about Amish in the City. Is it like Sex in the City?
No, it's basically, it was from 2004. So like peak reality TV time.
You bet.
And it was, instead of saying, you know what, let's, because what anyone could have done, and what documentaries have done for some time, is every once in a while you'll see people document the Amish rite of Rumspringa, which is basically the Amish people, you know, they live in seclusion, they live out on the farm, they don't use electricity. But when you turn, I guess, like 18 or something like that, you know, you're allowed to basically go out into the world and then come back and decide whether or not you want to stay Amish.
Okay.
But instead of just doing that, they basically like hook these Amish kids up with like some Hollywood equivalents and brought them to LA and basically like got them into like this scandalous LA party lifestyle.
Sure.
And then at the end, we're, you know, would say like, okay, which one of these kids like went back to being Amish?
How many went back? Did you watch it all?
I did not watch it all. I think there is a listing, if I go here, of how many actually did
Amish in the City.
Yeah, there are only 9 episodes.
A shame.
It's listing a lot of people that are like known people under like the starring section on YouTube. But I think that's more just because they would literally bring these people on red carpets. So because of that, you may get fooled if you look at the cast listing and see names like John Hamm, Danny Tamborelli,
what?
Frank Vincent, Michelle Trachtenberg, Kiki Palmer.
Michelle Trachtenberg, she's also on Buffy.
Yeah. Yeah, you get that synergy going on again.
And a recent episode of PCMC, we talked about Harriet the Spy.
Ooh. I loved Harriet the Spy when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, status, like, it gives a list of, like, this person's name and their current status. And it's either, like, someone who wasn't Amish to begin with, or, like, this person, like, did not return to the Amish. 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 Return to the Amish. So it looks like most of them actually did not return to the Amish.
Mm.
They were too seduced.
I mean, they didn't just have a Rumspringer. They also like were on TV.
Yeah. Look, they got the full like LA experience.
That's the most non-Amish thing you could do is be on TV, be on the TV.
Yeah. And who are you going to tell? You're going to tell, hey, mom, dad, look at me.
Well, we should mention before we wrap up that if there's one lasting popular culture thing that UPN gave the world, it would be America's Next Top Model.
Yeah, which it's isn't still that still on. Going on? Like, it's bounced around a couple networks, but like it was like its first definitely at least a couple of years on UPN.
Yeah, it went from UPN to then CW when they changed, and then VH1. And now I think it might be, I don't know if it's on VH1. I think it might be on like Bravo or someplace like that, but it's still going and it's still popular. And that's really, that was a show that they conceived and created there at UPN. You know, unlike, you know, Star Trek was a Star Trek thing and SmackDown was a Vince McMahon thing. This was a UPN, you know, product that still persists.
Yeah. It felt like near the end of UPN's life, they were maybe finding a groove where, like, I think their focus had become geared a lot more towards women.
Right. But, you know, like we were saying in the beginning, maybe they would have succeeded if it were earlier. But you're in the 2000s now, and HBO is starting to air these amazing things, and just the whole media landscape is changing. You know, you're fighting to be the fifth network in a world that's kind of like, who gives a shit about networks anymore? The best right. stuff isn't on networks anymore.
Right. Why am I going to watch Amish in the City or Chains of Love?
Let me watch Sex watch... in the City.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Right. Watch Amish in the City. We can watch Sex in the City.
We should also point out, and this is real tragic, two huge mistakes that UPN made, two big fish that they let go. UPN turned down Malcolm in the Middle. They actually produced, I think, the pilot, and then they were like, we don't want it. And then Fox took it, and it became a huge hit.
Yeah.
And they turned down American Idol.
Didn't they turn it down several times, too? Like they were really
insistent on... They, like, laughed Simon Cowell out of the room. They were like, no, this is terrible.
And then didn't they go on to produce their own, like, knockoff?
I imagine they did. I think everyone did at some point. But yeah. Think about how different UPN could still be around if they had done American Idol. Think about how huge that was at the beginning.
Well, here's the thing. Do you think it was right place, right time, though? That maybe if it was on UPN,
it would have found its audience?
It wouldn't have been as big a hit.
I think that's possible. I think, you know, just in general, more people watch Fox. It would have gave them some juice. I mean, they really backed the wrong horses. Wow. UPN, a wild moment in time.
Yeah. So the show I was thinking of, there actually was a sort of knockoff, but it was on WB.
Okay.
And it was called Superstar USA, where it was a spoof of American Idol.
Oh boy.
From 2004, where they told contestants they were looking for the best singer and they were actually looking for the worst.
Well, that's
you want to know who the judges were.
Please.
The judges were, and there were only 7 episodes.
Of course.
Christopher Briggs, who I guess he was like the Simon Cowell type. I don't know.
I have no idea who that is.
But you'll know the next two names. Vitamin C.
Oh boy.
And Tone Loc.
Oh boy. That's beneath you, Tone Loc. What a mean spirited show.
Yeah, really. Like, oh, we're looking for the best singer and we're gonna lie to you. Ah, that sucks. What is this? I'm looking on the Wikipedia. The Los Angeles Times reported that the Make-A-Wish Foundation received an apology from the WB.
What for?
Produced a worry the live audience. Oh my god. So during the final performances, the crowd in the audience was falsely informed that the singers were all terminally ill young people. Jeez. Who were having a wish fulfilled by a charitable organization.
Wow.
So that they can get the crowd to be like, yeah, no, you're great. You're singing is awesome. Oh my
god. That is... Wow, that's rough. Boy, that is scraping the bottom of the barrel, huh?
I did not know that. That's insane.
By the way, I know what I'm going to get you. Speaking of American Idol, I know what I'm going to get you for your birthday.
Okay.
I've been saving up for it. I'm getting you a cameo by William Hung. I'm going to have him sing She Bang and say, happy birthday, Vin.
Oh, man. William Hung.
On there. I don't know why they think I'm a William Hung fan, but I
see. How much is a cameo by William Hung?
Oh, God. We're going to play this game again.
Did you get hung for the holidays?
Cameo. Let's see. William Hung. I'm really interested in the low people. not low people, but the people that cost the least.
Yeah. Cameo to me has always been something that like, I don't like it if it's just going to be like, hey, this is so-and-so, happy birthday.
$30.
Me, that's not bad. I mean, it's a little high for William Hung, but...
He'll respond in 24 hours.
Oh, you bet he will. Can we get a duet with him and Tay Zonday? Like,
oh, boy. Ben, do you have anything else to add?
I would love to see, who the biggest stars of the UPN are and see if they're on Cameo.
Oh, man.
Or is anyone from Shasta McNasty? Can you get the band Shasta McNasty on Cameo?
You could get Jake Busey.
Oh, boy.
For $49.
Oh, wow. More than William Hung.
Somebody thinks he's $19 better than William Hung, and I don't know if I agree.
Yeah, no. It's UPN.
Check some of these shows out. They're all on YouTube.
Yeah, nobody's rushing anytime soon to...
Yeah, nobody gives a shit.
To pull Desmond Pfeiffer off YouTube.
Yeah, go watch some of these shows. And... it was funny. I was talking to somebody about this episode and they didn't even remember UPN. They were like, what's UPN? I was like, really? Remember it was a network? They were like, it's not ringing a bell.
Wow. That's that's impressive. Cause I feel like you at least like, you remember the channel UPN at least. Like.
Oh God. You know, maybe we're just of a certain age.
I guess so. I mean, yeah, if you were born, I guess like after, I mean, look, there are people who are entering college now who, would have to be, were like toddlers at the tail end of UPN's life.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. This has been UPN. Go check all of this stuff out. Vin, thank you for coming on. Thank you for being McNasty. we didn't talk about Platypus Man. It was a sitcom starring Richard Jenny. I don't know why it was called that.
Oh, because that wasn't that the name of his one of his signature bits? Was like a platypus man is like a male platypus who just like keeps to himself and like doesn't reproduce.
Oh, okay. Well, sounds great.
Again, like with the WB2, like when they first started, both networks had these shows that like you look at the titles and you're like, what the fuck is this? Like Platypus Man, Pigsty, WB had a show called Muscle, which is like, I don't know, it was like a cop show, but you wouldn't know it.
UPN, a lot of their shows seem like fake shows you'd see on a sketch comedy.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's like, is this real? Is Amish in the City a real show, or is this like a 30 Rock joke?
Yeah, exactly. And like, and look, some of those shows would be on Fox, so you have to imagine, like, if
yeah,
if Life on a Stick is on Fox, what's on UPN?
This has been PCMC. We come out every single Wednesday, and we are available anywhere podcasts are found. You can follow PCMC at PCMC Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
Ooh.
Yeah, we got a TikTok. Vin, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it was my pleasure.
We end every episode by saying, go bye-bye.